Okay, I swear to God I'm recording this time.
I sure hope so. Hi, I'm
And
Katie.
I'm Kayla.
And welcome back to the Katie and Kayla show. It's still so cringy.
Yes, it is. Less cringy, though. No, that's a lie.
Yeah. So this week we are going to be talking about the mini-series on Netflix, Waco. And first, I just wanted to gather some initial thoughts about what we thought about the series. Kayla and I both watched it. I thought it was phenomenal. What did you think, Kayla?
I thought it was really good. It was really good, like filmography and like cinematography, I mean, oh my Lanta. And acting was really good. Overall, it was just very interesting, very entertaining to say the least. Even if I'm not 100% sure on all the fact-based aspects of it, but it was very entertaining.
Definitely. Yeah, and I even hear tell that someone thinks the preacher's hot.
Okay, they put a decent-looking actor on and he sings. What are you supposed to think?
He's a cult leader.
I mean, people thought Ted Bundy was hot. And he was actually a
You're
serial
right.
killer.
And then they had Zac Efron play him in that movie on Netflix, too. What's up with Netflix putting all these hot people as like evil people? It's brainwashing us.
Okay, I mean.
Anyway, that's a topic for another time. That's a topic for another time. So, first let's start off talking about the ATF, I think, and some of like, the fact-based parts of the show and what we think is factual versus what we think is embellishment or bias on the part of this series. So, Kayla, what do you think about the ATF first in general?
I think that the ATF, for those of you who don't know, is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Overall, this was a very controversial time for them, so I do completely buy that during the time. And they did cross a lot of boundaries. However, I am not 100% down to be like, yeah, they just charged these people for no reason. And, I do think that overall the ATF was watching this compound very closely, knowing that, like, it could get violent and it could lead to what it did. But I do think that they jumped the gun a little bit because of the PR aspects. I mean, I'm a libertarian, so technically, f the ATF.
I'm a libertarian, so technically, f the feds.
So back to Waco. So, as far as what we think, Kayla, who do you think shot first? Like, just knowing all the information that you know.
If they had dogs on the compound, I fully believe that the ATF could have shot first. I fully believe that that's a possibility. Tensions were very high in that moment, and if they had dogs on the property, I fully believe that the ATF had the possibility to shoot first because dogs aren't gonna be like, "Hey, you're a nice, friendly person that's pointing a gun at me. Don't engage." Dogs are gonna be like, "No, I'm gonna bite you." And so you had to put the ATF agents had to put down the dogs, but you hear shots in a high tense situation like that, and everyone just starts shooting. So I fully believe like what they portrayed in the series could have actually been true, but I'm not 100% sure.
Right, and I watched a few documentaries even after I watched Waco because I was like, okay, this is interesting. I want to find out what actually happened when we might not even ever know what actually happened. Probably won't even ever know actually what happened. But they did have dogs on the compound, and I mean, I buy that the ATF shot first. And I mean, I also find it odd, Kayla, that the ATF came in with so many men. So, do you think this was used as like a show to try to present the ATF as like heroes after Ruby Ridge, especially?
I do think that that was part of the reason why they chose this particular compound because, like I kind of said earlier, I do think that they had a watch on this compound for a very long time, but the compound was out in the middle of nowhere. People were willingly coming and going from it, like obviously there were children problems, but CPS was looking at that, but CPS couldn't get a case. So I think do think that they were monitoring the situation very closely, and when Ruby Ridge happened, they were like, okay, now's the time to go after these guys because we could just say child abuse, illegal firearms is a slam dunk case, you know?
In regards to the firearms, I saw a lot in documentaries and I read a lot about how they were actually gun sellers and like, they would how they would go out and sell guns, go to gun shows, buy guns, sell guns. So it would make sense for them to have, like, an arsenal, as less of an arsenal and more as inventory. And I don't know about you, because I live in Arkansas, but almost everyone else on Probably Political lives in Texas. And if I'm not mistaken, everyone in Texas is packing.
I mean, almost everyone. I live pretty close to Austin, so. But no, I mean, I have a gun, my dad has a gun, you know? And we just came straight from New Jersey, so it's not uncommon for people, especially when you're living out in the middle of nowhere. Like, in particular where I live, it takes 20 minutes if I have an emergency for the police to get to me. So, and especially for them, it'll take, like, hours. So it's not irrational to have a gun.
Yeah. And I think I saw that they actually have a shooting range on the compound. So it would make sense that when they invite people to come shoot with them for, like, community type stuff, that they would have extra guns. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, I've heard that too.
Yeah. Now, we're not saying that having illegal firearms is okay. Kayla might be saying that. I'm not. I don't know Kayla's libertarian stance on the illegal firearm debate. What do you think, Kayla?
Second Amendment right shall not be infringed right there in the Constitution. All I'm saying is make nukes.
Okay, cool.
I want my McNukes and I want my landmines. How are you?
Okay, that is a statement.
How you doing, ATF agent?
Next, let's talk about, you know, further into this series at the end when obviously the fire started. Do you think that the methods that the FBI at that point were using were okay, such as like psychological warfare? And then do you think that any of the tear gas they threw into the compound, do you think they started the fire? Do you think the people in the compound purposely started the fire for a mass suicide?
Well, I don't think mass suicide was ever the intention of those inside the compound, just from reading about it. I think this era was very popular because it was kind of around Jonestown and stuff like that. So, like, people were always terrified of a mass suicide. So it, like, sensationalized it in the media a little bit. But overall, I think we have debates over whether we could torture terrorists for information. And so the fact that they were using it against U.S. citizens that were planning no attack against, like, the Twin Towers or anything like that, I think is astronomical and astounding. Overall, they should not have used psychological warfare. That's stupid. You cannot do that against U.S. citizens. Like, governments can't use... That was the main problem with Saddam Hussein, was because people thought he was gassing his own people. And that's what we did at Waco. We literally tear gassed our own people. But, like, the specific type of tear gas was, like... I can't remember the exact name. But it was also known for catching on fire. Like, they even had that scene that I thought was super interesting in Waco with... First of all, the cinematography in Waco... Exquisite. Love it. Absolutely love it. But when they had the podcast guy or radio show host, I should say, narrating what was happening, and he goes and he starts listing off all these dates where the same exact gas was used and it started a fire. And they had no fire trucks on scene. It's like, wow, this has happened to you how many times before? And nobody thought, like, oh, hey, we're out in the middle of the boondocks, like, let me bring a firefighting team just in case something happens, because, you know, it'll take hours for them to respond.
Yeah, and I mean, if they really were trying to prevent a mass suicide and they knew that this gas was flammable, don't you think they would have wanted fire trucks to be there in case there was a chance of a mass suicide attempt?
Exactly. And also, the thing that got me, though, was when they started pumping the area with tear gas, when they started pumping the vault with tear gas in particular, one, they knew that they compromised the structural integrity of the building because they went through walls. I don't know why they didn't just go through windows. Windows were at base level. You know, it was and they were also strategically in strategic advantage points. So I don't know why that wasn't used. But also, when they went into the vault and they saw nobody coming out, what? Why are you still pumping gas inside of there? Because you're cutting off their oxygen. You know, I mean, if I were trapped in a building and somebody just set off, like, a minuscule amount of tear gas, I'm getting the heck out, you know? No matter the consequences to me, because, first of all, I'm asthmatic, can't breathe, one. Two, you know, after a certain point, your body literally is like, I gotta get out. You just go into survival instincts, and it's not like a matter of, oh, this is my principle, and this is what I believe in. It's, no, I need to survive, which is why you saw so many people running out. Which is why you saw 30-something people running out, I should say. But they just kept pumping tear gas, and they knew that they were cutting off the oxygen supply. Why weren't they just, you know, oh, hang on, this is going to be like 90% gas now. People can't breathe.
If they didn't realize something was, like, going on inside, that maybe people were stuck at that point, I don't know what to say. But let's talk about the children also, because there were a lot of children left in the compound at the time of the gassing and the fire. And the FBI knew, they knew that they don't make gas masks for children. And so they were essentially using the children as pawns to force their parents to bring them out. And even though, you know, they quite possibly couldn't come out because either they were stuck or they couldn't breathe, so they passed out. I don't know. What do you think, Kayla?
I think that the FBI extremely knew what was happening. I understand that sometimes in cases like that, you know, in cases like that with, like, drone strikes on terrorist locations, you do run the risk of, like, killing children, but you're always, even in drone strikes, you always try to minimize the children casualty rate. They did not do that at all. They did nothing to attempt to minimize the child casualty rate.
As far as the children go, I'm not debating whether there was any kind of abuse. I think there was. I mean, I think David Koresh admitted it, himself in the tapes from Waco, that he had children with all of these underaged girls. And so I'm not saying that that didn't happen, nor am I saying that that's okay. That is terrible. However, Kayla, do you think that that is something for ATF to deal with? Or do you think that Child Protective Services should have dealt with that and ATF should have stayed in their lane?
Well, here's the thing. The ATF is literally the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Where in that name does it state that it deals with children?
I don't hear it.
It's not there. Child Protective Services, however, does protect children. That is in the name. And David Koresh was like, yes, I am the sole person who has sex here. It is me and only me. Nobody else is allowed to have sex. And I do it specifically to impregnate these young girls. They should have taken that at that point to Child Protective Services, and this could have ended up a lot differently. Also, I'm not sure if paternity tests were a thing at the time. I don't believe that they were, but paternity tests.
Yeah, all in all, I feel like it didn't have to end with so many deaths over one person. Yeah, I think that the ATF overstepped their boundaries here, and then the FBI did as well, and I just feel like it didn't have to end that way. No doubt there were illegal and wrong things going on in the compound, but I feel like that these people, all of them, did not have to die for this one man.
Well, my thing is, I thought it was funny how they were comparing it to a modern day Alamo, because it was. They literally surrounded the compound and tried to force them out by cutting off all their supplies. You know, by not giving the children milk and everything like that. They're like, no, you need to come out, which I understand, but also, you're creating a modern day Alamo. But also, the ATF and FBI were straight up executing people. Like, you could see it with
the husband that tried to come home.
Yeah, you could see it with him, and then you could see it with the other guy, Thibodeau. Yeah, and they were straight up executing. There was no threat to them, because if there was a threat, there would have been shots fired first from the person. And they were like, permission to fire, permission to fire. And that's an execution. That is not self-defense. That is not, you know, protecting the forces. That is execution. And since when can we get executed for carrying illegal firearms? Illegal.
And I mean, also, I guess there needs to be a discussion about, I love the character of Gary, who part of the series was based on a book he wrote. And I think we need to discuss how to better balance negotiation and force. I mean, what do you think, Kayla? Do you think it could have been negotiated further? Do you think that while David was writing his, you know, revelation down, that once he got it done, he actually would have brought everyone out if the FBI force had waited?
See, okay, here's the thing. I don't actually believe that he was ever going to finish his revelations book. I don't believe that that was ever... I do think that that was a stall tactic. I don't want to say siding with the government on that, but I do think that the government was right about that assessment. But I do think that they should have waited a week because that's what they agreed to in the negotiations. The ATF overall just really screwed everyone. They were really going for a publicity stunt. What I thought was very interesting is that they never did negotiations first. They went straight to gunfire. They went straight with the trucks full of men and started shooting up the place. There was never a negotiations aspect first. Like, hey, you know, like, they never talked to the guy while jogging. Like, granted, he does have weapons while he's jogging. However, and it, like, would have put ATF agents in danger, but you come up to him on the side of the road, and he's going to be a little bit more willing than if you're pointing a gun at him.
Also, the sheriff of the town said if you had a problem, they were more than willing to talk to you. Uh-huh. Yeah, so if you wanted to look into something, apparently, I mean, the sheriff of the town says that these people in the compound were more than willing to talk to you and to work with you. I don't know how true that is, but I mean, it seems like it would have been a much easier and better first try tactic to just go and talk.
Send in a negotiator. You don't just immediately start firing upon the compound, starting these executions, and like, what? The whole thing was completely mismanaged.
Right, and I also had I was concerned that the ATF had zero communications. What do you think about that, Kayla?
Yeah, the fact that they had no communications was, to me, when somebody is firing upon a compound and they have no communications, that's a sign that they've gone rogue. I'm sorry. That just is. That's how it works in the military. You don't have communications. Like, if you lost communications for a significant reason, that's one thing. But if you show up to a place without communications on you and you start firing upon people, no, you've gone rogue. That at that point, I would be like, if you don't have communications, you are not government agents. Sorry.
Right. Well, I mean, I think I've said all I needed to say about it. It's a great series. I suggest you watch it and look into it further if you're interested to learn more. And I think my ending final thoughts are that it didn't have to end with so many deaths, but it did. So that's unfortunate.
My final thoughts are, it was a great series. I highly recommend it to anyone who's watching this. Very interesting, but also take everything with a grain of salt because I didn't really touch on the cult aspects of it as much as I know that there are cult aspects to it. So, watch it, but take it with a grain of salt. That's all I've got to say on it. Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure to like and subscribe down below. Also, hit that notification bell in the corner if you guys want to see more of us, because that way you get notifications every time our lovely faces pop up on screen. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It took me a second to remember Instagram. We'll have all those links down below. And make sure to check out our anchor.fm podcast. That's audio only, and it's also available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc. I can't even list all of them because we're available on so many things now. But check it out. Everything's down below.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Kayla.
And thank you for watching The Katie and Kayla Show.